The American people can well be proud of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And every citizen can profit by Director Hoover's repeated warnings. Says Director Hoover, "We cherish our American institutions and our heritage of freedom. But today our way of life is under attack by two dangerous enemies. The criminal hordes who live by violence and lawlessness, and the subversive hordes who seek to destroy all that is free and all that is sacred."
Thomas Paine Podcast, Episode 5. Just cut that off right there. Enough of this Casey Kasem hour. Sometimes I look at this mixing board and I feel like I'm Don Cornelius on Soul Train, you know, spinning the tunes. But so much to pack into this episode, and we have breaking news, we have some fun stuff we're leading off with, kind of ease into things, but we'll be breaking some news on here. Just going to be something for everybody in this show, believe me. We'll break some news, some what I consider massive news. If you're a fan of American Greed, Stacey Keach, that television show, which I tend to watch from time to time. I don't watch much TV, but I have watched American Greed. This is like American Greed level stuff with the Hillary Clinton and the Clinton cartel and her whole posse of criminals. And it doesn't reflect very well on the Department of Justice. But I'm talking American. This makes some of the stuff on American Greed look like someone stole a cupcake from a fucking church picnic. Kind of my style. Wherever I go, I like to break news. So we'll be doing that. But before we do that, what was J. Edgar Hoover talking about it when we opened the show with? The FBI is now like the poster boy, I think, for what's wrong with this country. It probably always has been that way, or that way for a long time. It was a very well-guarded secret. Kind of like the fact that the guy who ran the FBI for 48 years, J. Edgar Hoover, was dressing as a chick in his spare time, and he wasn't working undercover. So that's probably kind of a problem in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 30s, you know. Yeah, you can't even make this stuff up. It's so crazy. One thing we don't see is any footage of J. Edgar Hoover in his high heels running down John Dillinger and that crew, Babyface Nelson. Guys get pretty good head start if the guy chasing him is wearing heels. Just saying. This guy did so much video and propaganda and movies. He makes Comey look like Eric Roberts. You know what I mean? This guy was all over the... There's so much to pull from. We'll be pulling these old clips from here to eternity. It's crazy. This guy and his hype and the hype machine behind the FBI. We'll get into that in a little bit. Before we get crazy and jump into some stuff funny and serious, let's just get these plugs out of the way. The book, FBIPajamas.com, my book, How We Dismantle the FBI in Our Pajamas. That's the best way to benefit the show. Our operation is to purchase the book on Amazon. That website, FBI Pajamas, goes right to Amazon. Buy the paperback. That's the best way. The paperback is the best way to benefit us. It's like, I don't know what it is this week. They change it every week. And we have no say, believe it or not, in the price. So I think it's $17, $16, $15 now. Last week it was $26. We stopped trying to keep up, but that's the best way. So that's the main plug that we give for that. You get $50 gift card if you send a screenshot of your purchase to promo@truepundit.com. We send you a gift card for hats and hoodies and stuff that you can purchase at libertyoutfitters.co. Pretty good deal. Spend $17-$15 and get 50 back. What the hell? That's change I can believe in. Right? So that's the main plug for right now, that we are offering listeners to this podcast. This podcast, I don't know what happened last week. It went crazy. The numbers are like through the roof. I guess we're doing something right. Probably we broke news on the last podcast and we'll break news this podcast as well. That could be bringing people here. But hey, maybe they just are along and they enjoy what I have to say. That's cool too. That's kind of the whole goal behind this thing. On Twitter, Thomas1774Payne, true_pundit. And of course, you can always find us at truepundit.com. That's where all of our news is. And please rate us on iTunes, Thomas Paine Podcast. Give us a rating. Give us a written review if you want. That's cool. Help grow the audience here that we could try to get the word out to more patriots. That's our goal. And that seems to be a very good way of doing it. We've been getting a lot of feedback from folks. I'm very happy with the feedback. I'm very happy that people are happy. That's the goal here, to a certain extent, to make people happy through similar philosophies, sharing similar political dogma and doctrine. And basically, most of the stuff I say is just a lot of common sense. No pun intended with pain, but that's where we're at. So, again, FBI pajamas for the book. That really benefits us a lot. And if you want to throw us a bone, that's how you do it. Buy the paperback and reflect on that earlier offer. You can always click the back button and listen to it again. Also, some folks have asked where they can get more shows. You get more shows on patreon.com/truepundit. There's like, we do a video show, like a live video show. And I think there's like 70 to 80 episodes on there if you want to hear more from me during the interim while we come up to speed on the podcast. I talk about a lot of different things in the last year and a half on the Patreon show. And so that's another route if you want to try to do something to underwrite our efforts, patreon.com/truepundit. A lot of shows on there. I stopped counting. And most of them are very good based on the feedback and votes and upvotes from listeners. So that's always good too. I forgot to plug that the first couple times. I just do an hour of plugs and then sign the fuck off. It's, I could just be like watching Fox. They talk about everybody's got a book and they're doing this and they're doing that and they're doing this and, you know, 5 minutes of news and 55 minutes of plugs or 90 minutes of plugs, something like that. A lot of stuff. So let's jump into this today. It's jam-packed. And we'll start off by teasing something coming in a little bit is big news on Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. And we've developed some more of the dirt that we were talking about that was coming in after the debacle known as the Huber debacle, where he basically mailed it in, crapped the bed on the Clinton Foundation investigation, didn't do anything really. And a lot of people are angry, and the intel started to flow, and now we've developed that into further intel. We're going to get into that later. Before that, let's have a little fun. Thank God there were no incidents, weren't even any arrests on Monday in Richmond, Virginia, at the gun rights rally, Second Amendment rally, formed to protest Governor Northam's attempted clampdown on the Second Amendment. And Nobody was shot. Nobody was hurt. Weren't even any arrests. I mean, what did you expect? These are patriots who showed up to this to press their rights. Sure, they were carrying guns. What's the matter with that? It's your right in this country to do so. We're permitted, but the governor was so distraught that nobody was shot, hurt, or arrested that we heard that he's not even going to wear blackface for the rest of the week, which is probably a good thing, right? Yay, Governor Northam. Northern, whatever the fuck your name is. We have a clip from this guy talking about the rally. Hold on. Press Governor Northam on the board. Hold on. Northam.
Hey, don't cry, Turkey, don't cry.
The hell is this? Oh, it's Al Jolson. Why does it say Governor Northam? Oh, he's in blackface. I'm sorry, he's in blackface too. I get mixed up here. Hard to tell those guys apart. We'll have to do a better job of marking this on the mixing board. I mean, that wasn't the governor, although they're both in blackface. And it's hard to keep these Democrats, separate these Democrats and these entertainers, you know what I mean? Governor Northam, ladies and gentlemen.
Away from you, you don't know just how
yeah, Al Jolson, what the hell's the difference? Two idiots. Even more breaking news on this. Now the governor is so distraught, he said he's not even going to wear his KKK hood or his KKK robe for the rest of the week either. Can you believe this guy? That's how demolished he is after nobody was hurt, maimed, or arrested at his trap, big trap he set up for patriots.
You're a real crumb bum.
You know, I was making fun of these CBS shows that overhype the FBI. And the scary thing is people actually watch these and think this is kind of reality. I think some of the brain dead public out there watch this stuff and think this is reality, but somebody sent me a bunch of these promos they have online for, because I've been playing these old propaganda flicks, garbage from the FBI back in the day, going back almost, you know, 80 years, 50 years, 60 years, 40 years. And so this is some of the new stuff. Somebody sent me this one. I thought it was kind of funny. Let's see if I can cue it up here.
25 minutes ago, Dan's son Jake was taken. Jake was the son of an FBI agent. Bottom line is, this is one of our own people. Let's find Jake Osborne.
A new FBI, next Tuesday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
It's always some kind of far from reality thing, like things that don't really happen. In real life, they never do the dramatic music in the promos for the real life stuff. Let's see if I could cue up some music here. Maybe we can have some fun with this. Everybody knows I'm. Last episode, I was pretty fired up, so people didn't get to see the fun side of me, but I am a perennial smartass. One of the benefits of growing up, being a smartass. You're always once a smartass, always a smartass. What does the guy say on this CBS promo? The guy's son is an FBI agent and he's missing? Okay. The FBI really look for their own when they're missing. Just ask the Levinson family with this guy in Iran for what now, over a decade? Yeah, they're really working hard to get him out. Let's see if we can have some fun with this. Get some dramatic music queued up here. Next week on FBI Dumpster Fire. It's a good name for a show. FBI Dumpster Fire next week. One of our agents has been kidnapped in Iran. We have to do everything we can do to make sure he stays there. Otherwise, he might really tell people why he was there. And we'll all be in trouble. We all might go to jail. Now, let's get this team together, people. Let's make sure we make it look like we're trying to find this guy and try to get him out of Iran. At the same time, we're making sure he doesn't go anywhere. Next week, FBI dumpster fire. Oh, man. Next week on FBI Dumpster Fire. Okay, people, we got to get a task force together. One of our agents just killed himself on a dance floor in a nightclub. Got to make sure we get enough people there. Scrub the scene. Take everybody's cell phone. Confiscate all video evidence. We don't want any of this information to get out to the public that this guy who was working for the Clinton Foundation and other high-profile FBI cases just killed himself in public. Let's go, people. Let's get the team together. Let's... Can't let anybody... And no one's allowed to talk about this publicly either. You're going to lose your job. FBI Dumpster Fire. Tuesday night, CBS. This is way more interesting instead of the made-up stuff. Next week on FBI Dumpster Fire. Okay, people, there's been a mass shooting at a school in Florida. A place we had active intelligence on for weeks and months ahead of time, but decided not to do anything to save anybody's life. We need to get out in front of this. Oh, what? Oh, there's some kid who supposedly goes to school there who's the son of an FBI agent. What's his name? Hogg? Let's get him in front of the media. First interview so he can talk about gun control. Let's spin it to gun control, people. Let's scramble a team. Let's go. Let's get out there before this really hits the news and we look even worse than we normally do. FBI Dumpster Fire, Tuesday night, CBS. FBI found itself at the center of controversy on Monday when its official Twitter account made a post celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The FBI said, "Today the FBI honors the life and work of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr." A quote from Dr. King is etched in stone at the FBI Academy's Reflection Garden in Quantico as a reminder to all students and FBI employees. The time, quote, "the time is always right to do what is right," quote, hashtag MLK Day. Are these people out of their minds? These guys tried to ruin and kill MLK, literally. People snapped yesterday. They were outraged at the FBI's Twitter post and attacked these guys, mostly having to do with the FBI launched a surveillance and harassment campaign against MLK in the 1960s, which included a letter sent to King and his wife, Coretta Scott King, encouraging him to kill himself, as Martin Luther King Jr. pointed out historically that they were trying to get him. He thought they were trying to get him to kill himself. And we had a story on it in True Pundit. If you search for FBI and MLK up in the search bar, you'll find it. People, we posted some of the tweets. People lit these guys up like a Christmas tree. I'm cruising through the tweets right now. And people are like, "Are you out of your mind? Dropping F-bombs, MF-bombs on the FBI, regular people." When people are overtly talking like this to the FBI, you know that they've had it. Let's get into what they did to this guy historically. And now they're pretending like they're trumpeting him, some reflection garden in Quantico. Wow. They need a lesson in optics. Christopher Wray is out to lunch.
I know a number of black dudes in the FBI, DEA. The stark differences between the way the two agencies treat
them based on race, I guess you could argue based on race, are stark. The African-American agents and the DEA seem to be much more content with the way they're treated and promoted overall compared to the FBI. So if Dopey Christopher Wray wants to honor the life and work of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you may want to start with the way he treats African-American FBI agents. But this is 2020. It's much easier to just tweet about how great you are and use empty words, and hollow words, instead of leading by example. But, you know, one of the things, we're going to get into some heavy shit here today, but I just wanted to start off with some of this lighter mood. So not that this is lighter. It's lighter mood to me when hundreds of people call out these government bureaucrats and these dopes for being hypocrites. See, they're so tone deaf. So tone deaf down there, they don't even realize that when they tweet these things, they're making an ass out of themselves. They don't even get it. These guys are removed from all reality. They live in this vacuum in D.C. where the liquor's flowing and the money's flowing. And after a while, they actually start to believe their own bullshit. I think that's part of the problem with these people. How the fuck can you tweet about MLK when you literally tried to not only kill the guy? I mean, well, that's the ultimate. You harassed him, spread rumors about him, still putting out stuff about, okay, so I read, oh, he had like, you know, the FBI said he had like 40 girlfriends or something. What does that have to do with anything, right? Let's just say he had a bunch of girlfriends. Okay. How does that diminish what he achieved, number one? Number two, why do they not investigate Bill Clinton, who had no girlfriends but several rape victims? See the stark differences? It's a crime if you're a brother who is trying to better the world and lobbying for civil rights for the other brothers and sisters, but that's a crime. But if you're whitey from Arkansas and you rape women, but you're the patron saint of the Democratic Party, that's cool. And we're going to let that slide. Let's see the FBI files on this crazed pervert, Bill Clinton. Oh, yeah, and if he's palling around with Jeffrey Epstein, who's trafficking young girls, that's cool, too. But this brother, he's a problem. Let's write him some letters, tell him to kill himself. Let's send some packages to his wife with the results of our surveillance on him to discredit him, try to create unrest at home, try to set this guy off. Let's do that. Is that honoring somebody's legacy? So, I mean, this is like a reality check for some of you younger folks. They literally tried to kill this guy. And now they say they have something at a garden in Quantico, or a reflection garden. You motherfuckers need a reflection garden in your own bathrooms. Fill the sink up with some water, right? Run your finger around in it, make like a fountain noise, and look yourselves in the mirror. That's your reflection garden. And ask yourselves what the fuck you're doing with your lives. Harassing good people out here while the creeps get to run wild. And you give these guys a license to run wild. It's a goddamn disgrace. And now you celebrate somebody you tried to ruin? That's some low shit. I mean, if you're going to be an asshole, be an asshole. This is America. Pick a side. Don't try to play both sides. It's goddamn ridiculous. These guys are, like I said, they're tone deaf. Let's just break this thing down, this letter, real quick. It's also known as the suicide letter or the blackmail package. It was sent to MLK's wife, Coretta Scott King, in 1964, and they traced it now back to the FBI. Let's see. It was a package and a letter, tape recordings, that would allegedly showed King's sexual indiscretions. And they delivered it to the wife. And MLK said, obviously, it was from the FBI, and he was right. In there, there was a letter basically telling him he thought to kill himself, is what his interpretation of it was. And that's the only interpretation in my book that matters. In 71, a group around here in Philly, they burglarized FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania, and they stole all these classified documents, and part of those docs revealed the secret FBI op, COINTELPRO, all one word, COINTELPRO. You could Google that if you want to have an eye-opener. And the suicide letter, based on things that were swiped from the office, it looks like it was discovered in the work files of William C. Sullivan, the deputy FBI director. And he's also suggested to be its author during the time that it was sent to King. So this stuff came right out of the FBI. They sent it to his house anonymously. Can you believe these people? And now they're honoring the guy? What happens if MLK was, you know, this is another the handiwork of J. Edgar Hoover. Remember the guy, I keep playing his propaganda movies and messages about how the FBI is on your side and they're here to help you and they'll always be here to help you. And at the same time, they're trying to take this brother down and ruin him. And what happens if the guy's maybe not doing so well and he ends up killing himself? That's what MLK said the intent was of the package and the letter, to create friction at home. So maybe he kills himself. Yeah. Great fucking group of guys. Thank God they're honoring him now. You know? It's unfucking believable, really. I guess this means in 50 years, the FBI be tweeting about how they helped get Trump elected. That's going to be the next thing they tweet about. Today, the FBI honors the life and work of Donald Trump, who we, you know, really supported during his presidency, other than the fact we tried to chop his knees out every fucking day and toss him out of office. Besides that, you know, the time is always right to do what is right. Isn't that the quote that they have in their bullshit garden? What are they growing in that garden? Horse shit and fucking broken dreams. Some other breaking news this week. It was breaking news. New York University hosted a seminar, a roundtable panel on FISA reform and how to improve the FISA process to make sure there aren't future abuses. And the panel featured the FBI's disgraced frontman, Andrew McCabe, as well as DOJ, Pitbull, Weirdo, and corrupt prosecutor Wiseman. They had these two clowns, these two rodeo clowns, on a panel giving their suggestions on how to rein in corrupt practices in a government. I mean, you couldn't pick the two worst poster boys for prosecutorial and investigative abuse. And, of course, it's at NYU. And I researched this whole setup. It's all the dean at NYU school. The guy looks like the guy from Mad Magazine. Is kind of a strange-looking guy. Obviously, former Obama White House guy, former Hillary Clinton crony, former law clerk for Ginsburg. And the whole setup, everybody in the NYU Law School academia circles are a bunch of cronies of the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation, the Obama White House, and it's like a big revolving door, a big circle jerk of these weirdos. And, you know, it makes no big surprise. They try to say it was put on by a group called something or other, Justice, I don't know what it's called, some justice group. But, you know, I traced this group, and it's a group that's funded and actually located at NYU. So NYU even makes it seems like we didn't have anything to do with it. They just kind of rented our room, you know, that kind of thing. It was open to the public. Our friend Jason Goodman got thrown out of it because he was recording. God forbid you record without their permission. Can you believe it? They can spy on you without your permission or even knowledge. But if you throw a tape recorder on to try to capture this stuff outside their controls, they freak the fuck out. I think we have a clip of that.
Hey, sorry. I'm with the affairs of the law school. We're not going to permit video recording. Here, we're recording it.
They didn't say that. I'm an alumni of NYU.
Yeah.
Didn't say that on any of the documentation.
Well, I don't think so.
Can I just record? I'm just going to sit here and not going to bother anybody.
Yeah, there's going to be an announcement that there's no video recording.
Why didn't they say that in the materials that they sent out?
Well, I apologize that they didn't. But
okay. Well.
So, I appreciate that if you don't.
I really want to, though. Why would you restrict me from doing that?
Well, it's just been a decision made by the event organizers, so this is their event.
All right, so I'm going to leave then.
Okay.
Okay. Director McCabe, isn't it ironic they've invited you here to talk about reforming the FISA court, given the allegations that you were involved in the abuses that led to Operation Crossfire Hurricane? Can you address that question, please? I'm being disallowed from recording this, and I think it's an important question for you to answer. Can you answer that, please?
That's actually not what your report said, so you might want to go back and read it.
Well, it said Inspector General Horowitz found no bias in opening it. But that was Bill Priestap. Wasn't he your roommate in college or law school? Can you address that? Was he?
Okay, is this on? Can you hear me?
Okay, thanks very much. I'm not being allowed to record this. That's an important question everyone should ask Andrew McCabe. I'm an NYU alum. This is a disgrace.
See, that's how it works, folks. You ask these liberal maniacs questions, and the next thing you know, you're told to beat it. You can't record anything because they can't control it. And they rarely have to answer for anything they do because they live in their own little vacuum. So when you pierce that vacuum, when you pierce the veil, they don't know what to do. That wasn't McCabe speaking when Jason said something to him. It was some fucking Poindexter who knows who he is. That's not what I said in the FISA report. Sit down, pipsqueak. Snap you like a breadstick. So that's their game. They don't want to answer any questions, anything off script. They're all about the script, because off a script, anything's possible. They can lash out, say something, completely look stupid. They need cue cards. They need talking points. These folks, they can't survive without them. It even gets worse. So I followed up. I got kind of, to tell you the truth, I like stuff like this. I like confrontations. I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with me. My wife said there's probably something wrong with me. I've been getting in confrontations since I was a kid. You know, you got to fight for what you want in life. Sometimes you got to fight. You know, the Beastie Boy says you have to fight for your right to party. But, I mean, it's much more complicated than that when you're growing up with not much and no old man around. You got to fight for – sometimes you got to fight for a meal. But anyhow, I followed up. I took Mr. Goodman's lead, and we do a show Tuesday nights together, More Pain. It's on Patreon, patreon.com/truepundit. And we've been doing it for a year and a half. There's a lot of interesting stuff on there, 60, 70, 80 episodes. I don't know what it is, but anyhow, I followed up, and here's how it went.
Dean Morrison's office. Can I help you?
Yeah, I was trying to reach Trevor Morrison.
Who's calling?
My name's Mike Moore, a reporter.
Okay. He can't take a call right now. I can transfer you to our press officer if you hold on 1 second.
Cool.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, yes. I was transferred to you. Is this the press office?
Yep, this is Public Affairs. Who's calling?
Cool. My name is Mike Moore. I'm a reporter, and I was trying to reach Trevor Morrison at the law school.
You're a reporter with what organization?
True Pundit is the name of the organization.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell me what you're calling about?
Yeah, I'm stuck with you. I can't talk to the big honcho at the law school. Is that how it works?
I mean, it really, you can start with me and then we can go from there.
I had a question. You guys had this event with a FISA reform event at the law school. It was like a big public thing. And I had questions about that. You had Andrew McCabe there and another guy from DOJ talking about FISA reform when they're two of the people responsible for FISA abuses. So I wanted to get a comment from you or from the dean why you would have those two guys.
Can you email me questions, any questions that you have?
That's the question.
Oh, well, if you email me, then I can respond and I'll have your contact information.
Can I just give you my contact information?
Sure.
Okay. Are you familiar with this event or not really?
Yes, I'm aware of that. I think it was last week, right?
Yeah. You can reach me at intel@truepundit.com.
Intel@truepundit?
Right. And my name is Mike Moore.
Okay.
How does this work? Are you going to get back to me with some kind of comment or? No comment, some comment.
Yeah, I will get back to you in some fashion, but I don't know what it will be.
Can I talk directly to the dean?
Stay tuned. I think, you know, we have all press calls come through Public Affairs, at least all press calls for the dean. So, you did reach the right person,
right.
And I'll let you know, you know what, if any
response
we have.
Are you folks planning a seminar where Bill Clinton talks to rape victims? I mean, that's kind of the similar thing. Similar.
Uh-huh. Okay, I've got your question. So, thanks very much.
Okay, man, have a good one.
Yep. You too.
All right. Well, it's just not easy to reach the dean or anybody else, but hopefully he'll contact us and let us know when they're bringing in Bill Clinton to give motivational speeches to rape victims, or maybe he's going to hold some kind of seminar there for single guys. Maybe Clinton's going to give a Tinder seminar or something, or a Bumble seminar. Who knows? Oh, man. So you can't even get close to these guys. They live in their own little bubble. They're all protected by these little wing monkeys that are fools. Take a paycheck to cover up for these fucking assholes. I said earlier in the show, we talked about American greed level insanity coming out about Hillary Clinton. Like, how much more stuff do we really need about this woman? She's a criminal. We've proven this time and time again. Nobody seems to care in the DOJ. And just more proof we have now of that being the case. We did a story, broke a national story, True Pundit. When I say we, of course, that's who I'm talking about. On this FBI agent. He was a Wall Street expert, financial crimes expert, ran the financial crimes, the high-profile financial crimes unit slash task force for the FBI in FBI New York, and also worked out of D.C. South Cincinnati. Allegedly killed himself on a dance floor at a bar in Austin. Very strange goings on. He was supposedly wearing a bulletproof vest at the time that he supposedly shot himself in public in a crowded dance floor, crowded bar. He was in town for an FBI seminar. He was giving a speech and also some kind of DOJ seminar. They kept it really hush-hush. It made it to us, and then we sat on it for 4 or 5 days because if I was back in my 20s, I probably would have put the story right out, but they were bringing the body back home to New York, and he was being laid to rest on a Saturday. His funeral was on a Saturday. This happened on a Wednesday or Thursday, and I didn't want to put anything out before that because I figured the family had enough to worry about. He's got a wife and young kids, and so I said, let's just wait. I mean, who else? You always run the risk of somebody else breaking the story, but I'm thinking to myself, who else is going to write this? Nobody knows about this. Nobody has the hooks we have. So we waited, I think, until Monday or Tuesday and put it out after he was laid to rest. FBI wanted to keep the clamps on this story, believe me. They even pulled the guy's obituary until these guys are nefarious. Just Ray and that whole crew anyway. And this goes to the heart of it, what we're going to get into now with the breaking news. So I think anybody with common sense can say that Cincinnati died under suspicious circumstances. Public suicides are always problematic in my book. To me, it's like the guy is saying, yo, this is my only way out right now, but look into this because really when somebody's contemplating suicide, it's usually they're depressed, they're in a very lonely place, and doing it publicly is not really something that I think most people contemplate. They just kind of want to be alone. They already feel like they're alone. They want to go to they're in a dark place, and it seems like, you know, if you're alone and your world is dark, you would imagine that your death would parallel those circumstances and that situation you're in mentally. So whenever I see public suicides, like Bud Dwyer was a former treasurer of Pennsylvania. He shot himself in front of news cameras. It's been pinned on him, this whole scandal, and it turned out that he wasn't really responsible for it, but that was his way of saying, hey, I don't want to go through this, I don't want to put my family through this, so we'll just check out here. And that was 1985, I think. Big scandal, big story. Look up Bud Dwyer. But public suicides to me always stuck out because I remember that story running on the news in Philadelphia, and then the nightly news, they like ran the whole reel of the guy putting a 357 in his mouth and shooting himself and the blood coming. It's just one of the most horrendous things you could ever see. But the news ran it. They pretended, these guys down here, the news media, TV news media, they pretended that it was live and they couldn't, like they didn't have a chance to cut away from it. But then it came out years later, literally years later, because we studied this in journalism school that, and I'm in a sidebar and I'm going to get off in a second. It was actually taped 2 hours before, and then the news, TV news, pretended that it was live to give them an excuse to run it, so you could see this guy's head explode. And then the TV, the national news, Peter Jennings and that whole crew, they picked it up, ABC, Brokaw, they picked it up and ran with it. Showed this guy's entire face, you know, blood pouring. It's just, you've never seen anything like it. Tasteless, really, truly tasteless. But again, when I see public suicide like that, I immediately rings a bell and rings many alarm bells to me. But so we come to find out that now Cincinnati's Sister was picked up weeks earlier on a murder-for-hire rap, alleged. She's in jail. She's an NYPD cop. Something about this whole story stinks. So we start poking around, because it never sat well with me. And we start poking around, talking to people. Different information is coming in from different places, like I said, in the last week or so. Special Agent Cincinnelli was a member of a team that was investigating the Clinton Foundation and had seen, witnessed, investigated the fact that large amounts of money were being moved by Hillary Clinton and through the Clinton Foundation, coming in, coming out. Some of it traces, well, a lot of it traced back to the State Department during the time that she was Secretary of State. This is really the first time or the first proof that anybody has that she was actually taking money from public money from the State Department while she was Secretary of State and moving it around to her cronies linked to the Clinton Foundation and to the Clinton cartel. And Cincinnelli was part of the FBI who was looking into this. And incredibly, this has been on Barr's desk. Attorney General William Barr, and he hasn't done anything with it. It's really amazing. She's going to get away. And first time I heard this, I was like, yeah. So the Clintons are taking money. But then I took a step back. I said, well, how much money are we talking about? Because the State Department has a massive budget. You can look it up online. She was in there 4 or 5 years. So 3, 4, 5 years. Then I started thinking, wait a minute. I work for these guys. They have a lot of these crazy offshoots, these departments and governmental umbrella agencies you'd never even heard of that have these pretty fat budgets and black budgets. Could she have been taking from there too? These questions remain, but the justice guys we talked to said that she didn't take millions of dollars. She took billions of dollars. And she spread it around to her cronies and shell companies, shell corporations, dummy companies. And then they kicked money back to the Clinton Foundation, and they may have even kicked money back into offshore accounts belonging to Bill and Hillary Clinton. So a lot of the stuff that's come out about the Clinton Foundation before this points to international things where they're dealing with these aid societies and doing vaccines for HIV, things like that. And they're kind of a handshake deal where they make introductions or bring people in under the Clinton Foundation or the Clinton Initiative, and they get a small piece of the pie. And many of those things were illegal too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making excuses for illegality, even on an international basis, but this stuff puts their hands right into the cookie jar of the U.S. Treasury, taking and diverting tax monies for profit. That's fraud. And using shell companies, buddies, friends, associates, whether it's international, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in the United States, routing funds through these hosts and a menagerie of shell companies where the money gets laundered and washed back into the Clinton Foundation coffers or the Clintons themselves. Now, the FBI had looked at this and were looking at this. Then all of a sudden, boom. No case. Remember Huber? Remember the announcement a couple weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, last week, whenever the hell it was. I can't keep track of the time in the news anymore. It's like every week's a quantum leap in the news. But Justice Department saying, oh, there wasn't really enough information to prosecute the Clintons. Bullshit. We got feds saying these guys ripped off the U.S. Treasury. Not millions of dollars, billions of dollars through the years. And you're telling me fucking Barr can't put an indictment together? That's bullshit. The people working the case say it's bullshit. I got 30 years in this racket investigating this stuff, and I say it's bullshit. And guess what? There's not a person listening to this that doesn't agree that that's bullshit. Why aren't these guys in shackles? This is insane. This isn't coming from, you know, some hobo down at the bus stop. This is coming from guys who know, high-level guys who know about this stuff. The Justice Department continues to cover up. Who is running the Justice Department? It's not Trump. It's not the fucking White House. And I know this stuff is going to make it to the White House, so listen up. You better get control of your Justice Department, because it's being run by the same people who ripped off the State Department and a lot of its umbrella agencies for billions of dollars. And it's going to come out. We're going to figure it out. We haven't figured it all out yet, and that's the way an investigation works. We're turning over rocks, and it's pretty ugly what we found so far. Who's running justice? President Trump, who's running justice, man? It's not you. You might think you are. You might think Barr's your friend. He's not your fucking friend, man. The Clintons are running the show. They've been running the show since you got in there. Look at everything that's happened to Flynn and guys like that. You tell me Barr is a white hat in this circus that he's running with Durham? How do you think that's going to happen? If they can't put Hillary Clinton behind bars and her associates behind bars for this, what the hell makes you think they're going to do something with Durham? This, if it's as big, it's not even if it's true. There's no part of me that thinks this is not true. Based on who it's coming from and their track record with us through the years. Okay. If, and I think this eclipses all other scandals, Hillary scandals, right? You know that dope on Fox, Hannity's doing TikTok? This makes TikTok look like a fucking children's watch. This is a big deal. You can't tell me that if they don't put her in prison already, there has been no grand jury. There's been, obviously, with no grand jury, there's no indictments. That they're going to put her or other people in the FBI away for some rinky-dink bullshit. Compared to this, I'm not excusing what they did also in other cases, like spying and things like that. This all dovetails. When you look at it from an investigative standpoint, it all dovetails together. And when things start to make a lot of sense, you know they're true. Because it's the lies and the deceit. And the spin that usually doesn't fit well with other puzzle pieces, and it always leaves questions. Why do you think, folks, why do you think we don't have access to thousands of Hillary's emails if she's got schemes like this cooked up? And at the time she was emailing, it never occurred to her that those emails might go public, that a guy like Trump might be in office, and everything that they're used to getting away with, would they be under a microscope where it never was before? That's why they're so nonchalant when they talk about emails like on WikiLeaks released, you know, emails from Podesta and all that. They're very nonchalant. They'll talk about anything because they never thought anybody would be watching. What happens then when you find out that people are watching or going to be watching or going to be looking and doing research? Makes a lot of sense to lose this stuff so no one can ever get a look at it. Also makes a lot of sense that if you're going to be selling the country down the tubes, literally ripping us off, that you do it on your own server where no one has access to it in the government, so they can't preserve the emails because they don't have access to it. She ran her own server. Nobody knows what was in those emails except those guys. You can bet your ass they were selling this country out left and right. Set up her own server for a reason. This is why. This is how criminal operations work. This isn't some old lady who doesn't know anything about computers. Oh, wipe it. What do you mean wipe it with a cloth? She was wiping something, all right. She was wiping her bank account with billions of dollars, her bank accounts, moving money out of the State Department and other umbrella operations, and we'll figure it out. We always do. It'll come out. The very fact that it hasn't come out thus far is more proof that the mainstream media can't be, we can't be the only people that know this, are complicit in corrupt operations meant to protect her, just like the Justice Department. Where's Barr? Where was Sessions? Where was this? This investigation was going on when Sessions was there, when he appointed Huber to look into this. They knew this was going on. You think Huber didn't know about this? Give me a fucking break. He found out about it and went into a turtle shell. He's probably shitting his pants. These guys are cowards. They're not going to go against the machine. You think Sessions is going to take, you think that pipsqueak's going to take on the Clintons? That dude went into a cave. Nobody even knew where he was at Justice. He was a coward. They probably threatened him too, just like they're threatening Trump. And you think Christopher Wray and Barr are going to do something? They're part of the problem, folks. Who do you think is, who do you think's working the cover up here? Come on, you guys are smarter than that. This is a massive cover up. She's going to get away with it too. You watch. She's gotten away with it so far for years. This went on for years. They must have such a tremendous amount of money, private wealth, tucked away. And don't fool yourself. The folks in the FBI like Comey and McCabe and Strzok, you can bet your ass they know about it too, and they're dangling this over everybody as their get-out-of-jail-free card. This is all one big cycle of corruption. And these guys are protecting their own asses. And I think including a guy like Barr. Anybody else would have these guys in shackles. They're thieves. They're crooks. And if you get in their way, they'll rub you out. It's really unbelievable that they've gotten away with this. And what about our friend Sal Cincinelli in the FBI? A guy who came to the FBI not because he really wanted to. He was trading options on Wall Street. He was a licensed Series 7 trader, making a lot of money. When he joined the FBI, his wife was like, "What specific?" And his family were like, "What specifically is the matter with you? Why do you want to join the FBI?" Makes me wonder if maybe he wasn't caught up in something else and they said, "Hey, come work for us and we'll forget about something else you're caught up in and we'll make it go away. But we need you on the inside." The problem is when you get a good guy, a good investigator on the inside and they start to find out too much and start to ask too many questions, especially if they believe in the system that, you know, it's not corrupt or they really haven't been in politics or in intel for a long time. They don't really understand that you can be tossed off the board like a pawn on a chessboard. You're nothing. You're a piece of meat when it comes to these people. If you get in the way of their power and money structure, you can be eliminated. That has to be going through the heads of a guy like McCabe, too, and that whole crew. That if they step out of line, they can end up like Cincinnati. Now, I don't know. To be fair, I don't know if Cincinnati was just in the wrong place at the wrong time type of a situation and he ended up taking his own life because of personal problems or whether he ate a bullet from somebody else. But you have to think, given the players here, folks, that this is just not a coincidence. And the fact that he was up on this intelligence, I don't know whether his sister has something to do with it. Maybe she got locked up because of this. Maybe he was going to go public. These are all important questions. Of course, nobody wants to answer because they don't even want to talk about the guy's death in the FBI. Sorry. I've been talking so long, I'm losing my voice. This is crazy, folks. This is a massive level of corruption, and we're at the precipice here. If nothing is done about this, where does that leave us as Americans? These are questions that are way over my head, but I'm going to put them out there anyhow. We're going to keep following this story. I think it's a massive story. I know it's a massive story. There are guys in justice who are pissed off, and they're talking. This is not a good thing for the in crowd, for the beautiful people. People start talking. It's problems. And then this is how scandals come unraveled, no matter how hard you try to keep them covered up and hidden away. The truth has a way of airing its ugly head, no matter who's working the puppet strings here. But these are all troubling questions. This is a massive scandal. I don't know where it's going. I know that Barr has not done anything with it. The people who are working for him are pissed off, and that means you should be pissed off. You're not going to see this on a Fox News or anything like that unless Trump decides, hey, you know what, I'm going to tweet about this at 3 a.m. and put some heat on it. You know, he could do that too, and then they'd have to cover it, but he may know about it, he may not. I don't know what he knows. I do know that he's not in control of the Justice Department. And I do know that proof has shown the Clintons are running the show. And now we know why. There are billions of dollars at stake. You know, it's not like, oh, there's some money missing here and there. There's money missing. Remember the $6 or $7 billion that was missing from the State Department? Just vanished. Nobody knows what happened to it. Does that play into this? We're still working with sources and people that literally are scared shitless to talk about it, but they feel compelled to blow the whistle here. These guys stole from you. Not stealing from some third world hospital fund or vaccine fund in India or Haiti. This is right from you. And they've gotten away with it. And you don't think guys like Obama and Biden know about it? Get the fuck out of here. Why do you think this guy's under impeachment right now? They want him out of there. They don't even want the possibility that somebody starts looking at the Biden money. You don't think he knows about this? That guy has his fingers in all kind of pies for 50 years. You don't think he got a piece of this? Give me a break. We know that guy. He's a local. We know all the people around here for the last 50 years that know him. Tell us all kind of crazy stories about him you couldn't even imagine. We're at the precipice, folks. This is the abyss of corruption in this country, the worst it's ever been. Guarantee it. I'm happy to be in a position to help try to blow the roof off. I think I'm here for a reason. This isn't happenstance. What happened to me in my career is not happenstance. I'm supposed to be here. All this stuff is happening for a reason. We got to figure out why. Are we going to be able to bounce back from this, become a stronger country, back on the track of Christianity and honesty? I don't know. I have my doubts. There's a crew out there that thinks that Barr's this, Barr's that. He's some kind of holy fucking ghost. He's not. I've just laid that out, and we're going to be beating on this for a long time until we get more answers on this story. If you guys think Barr is such a great guy, and he's working with Durham, and there's going to be all these indictments and stuff, right? And somebody's telling you this is going to happen. And the same group of people, a lot of patriots out there support General Mike Flynn and his battles with the government. Who do you think's behind the battles right now? Who do you think's trying to put him in jail? It's the Justice Department under William Barr. How can you trust Barr when he's screwing Flynn?